Hey, Tansy.
Hey, Charles.
Did you know this song before I sent it to you when I said I was doing it this week?
I was not very familiar with it.
Oh, you just ruined my joke. I was gonna go on a whole bit and be like, so you are not accustomed to the song, you are unacquainted with this track,
You
you are not
think you can
conversant,
out-pun
but have
me?
you now familiarized yourself with it? Was gonna be the open.
But it's not now. Now it's
It's not
this.
now. Now it's me being mad about the open not working. Anyway.
What is more pitch shift than you being mad about me ruining your joke? Now that's familiar. Simple, you diplo, your hips rolled, you do the calypso. An intro is all that I need. Oh, can we get family, 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 familiar? Yeah. What's on your mind for later tonight? Let me be the one to fill it up. Can we get?
Okay, so welcome to this episode of Pitch Shift. As we mentioned before, my name is Charles.
And my name is Tansy, and this is a podcast where we will take a song and pitch a movie based on that song. That's our whole bit. Charlie's going to pitch today. I'm going to act like a producer, offer some story advice, a little story edit, normally just oohs and ahs, but yeah, mm-hmm. I'm keen because this is...
Oohs and ahs, and I hate you, Charles, for making me listen to Liam Payne.
Yes, yes, all three of those. But this is actually the second in a little series that we...
It is.
It was probably like, it was very early, like maybe our sixth or seventh episode.
Yes, yes, yeah. It was.
But yeah, the thing that this is a sequel to is Niall Horan's Cold Hands, and I'm like, which is worse, cold or slow?
I mean, she did also have cold hands.
Which hand worse, so, cold hands, slow hands?
So yeah, so what happened was I pitched a horror film inspired by a Niall Horan song in which Anya Taylor-Joy brutally murdered Timothy Chalamet, and that was kind of the whole bit. But at the end of that recording, I was like, I should totally do one of these for every one of the members of One Direction. And Tansy was like, please no, do not do that. I don't want you to do that. And I was like, I'm going to do it.
And then I just turned it into an extended bit about how you collected the One Direction boys like the gems on the belt of Del Tora.
Yes. And that was the one Del Tora.
That was the very start of me bringing up Del Tora Quest at any possible opportunity on this show.
As a first detour quest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I am finally getting to the second in this series, which I was initially kind of referring to as A24 meets 1D, and now I'm just referring to Dumb House Studios.
Welcome to Dumb House Studios. We're run by Jason Dumb. We spend 10 times as much of our production budget on promotion.
To be fair, I think Jason Dumb would actually be better at this than Jason Blum is currently, because I just don't think his heart is in it anymore.
My problem with Blumhouse is that they basically, like, have I explained my problem with the way that Gareth Edwards directs to you before?
Potentially.
Okay, this is a very long tangent, but Gareth Edwards, director of Rogue One, I know too much about Rogue One, and there's this interview with one of the editors where he's explaining that Gareth Edwards, like, shooting style, he's like, look, if you were shooting a target, you got two options. You can shoot straight at the target and get bullseye every time, or you can shoot around the target and, you know, get an approximation of what bullseye would have been. But then he says Gareth's way of shooting is to shoot a bunch and then wherever the shots have landed to take the target over and stick it there.
Right. That makes sense. Be like, that's what I intended to do the whole time.
Yeah, one, that's a bad way to make a movie. And two, I feel that's like the Blumhouse funding approach where they, like, scatter out a bunch, they make a shitload of films, and then wherever the target seems to, like, wherever there is the most, they're like, okay, we'll actually fund the promotion of this, and then they leave all their other projects to die on video on demand. But anyway.
Yeah, and also, like, in general, increasingly, I feel like the films that they put out are increasingly just, like, paint by numbers, like...
Like, fill in the blanks
beat,
horror
beat,
movie.
Jump scare, beat, jump scare.
Yeah.
Kind of... Like, they all, like, the first two Conjuring films, which I rewatched recently, are like, wow, this is actually really cool and really well done. And then they just kind of use the same formula every time, but it gets less effective, and also the things that they're doing around it aren't compelling. So you're like, yeah, sure, Linda Cardellini just saw a weeping woman ghost. Fine.
Fine.
You know? And then they have occasionally, like, great ones. Anyway, yeah, so...
So, Dumbhouse Studios.
Yeah, Dumbhouse Studios. Now, I'm sure that you already know this, either through cultural osmosis or from having listened to this fucking song, but Liam Payne is the worst member of One Direction.
Yeah. Yeah, is it bad that, like, I know Liam Payne is the worst, even though I couldn't, like, I would struggle to name all the members? I'm like, I know Liam's the bad one.
Yeah, you're essentially correct. Like, basically, so what it is the order of, there's, like, Louis, Zayn, Harry, Niall, every member of their touring band, the guys who write songs with them, every member of 5 Seconds of Summer, the lead singer of The Vamps, who looks like Harry Styles, and then a big gap, and then there's Liam.
Look, I don't have enough skin in the game to really care, but the fact that you ranked people above Harry is really hurting me right now.
I
do not care about One Direction, but I fuck with Harry Styles.
Oh, no, I mean, in terms of solo work, definitely Harry's killing it the hardest. But I mean, in terms of members of One Direction when they were active.
Okay.
Yeah, so, like, it's a shame that he sucks, and it's also a shame that he's making the kind of music that he is, because he probably had, like, the second best voice of the One Direction members during most of the time that they were a band.
Okay.
And it's also, like, so he has not been entirely without merit, because he does have a really delightful, smooth-brained way of looking at the world sometimes.
Okay.
And, like, used to be, like had occasionally been, like, a really delightful part of that band's dynamic. You know, when he would tweet things like, I'm a fancy candle, or this whole thing about he had one kidney, but then it supposedly grew back, which is like, what?
What?
Yeah, it's, and like, I, we don't know.
he should talk to friend of the pod, Sara, who has 3 kidneys.
He does?
Yeah, Sara's got 3 kidneys.
What a guy.
I think it's either 3 or 1. It's an unusual number.
It's either 3 or 1. It's a big difference there.
There
anyway.
Is somewhere a kidney harvester writing down Sara's name with a question mark, and they're like, yeah. Either we can take, like, more than normal or none at all.
Either we can take 2 or we can't. Yeah, and anyway, so before I get into this, I wanted to share my favourite ever Liam Payne moment, mm-hmm. which is not everyone's, like, most people's favourite, which is It's a Snake Habitat Turnaround, which was when they were touring Australia. I think they were in Adelaide, and the hotel had apparently a snake habitat behind it, but fans were in this field, and he just kept tweeting, like, it's a snake habitat, turn around. But no, my favorite Liam moment is so for some reason he had a fear or a dislike of spoons, I can't really remember, and then there was this one time he tweeted a picture of a plastic spork with the caption, what the fuck is this? And then later that day tweeted, can't get that spoon fork out of my mind. And then, third piece in this triptych, after people had obviously been replying to him being like, it's a spork, you dork, was like, oh, I didn't know they were a popular cutlery. But, like, can't get that spoon fork out of my mind will sometimes just return to me. like a ratatouille, just come back in. I'm like, can't get that spoon fork out of my mind.
All right, so do you want to tell me a bit about this movie?
So, yeah, so the song Familiar is about meeting a woman.
Getting familiar.
Yeah, because you're feeling her. And also, it seems to be the scenario in which he's been like, oh, that chick looks hot, I want to know her name. And then he's gotten closer and been like, oh, I want to get inside her brain.
Inside her brain. Yep, cool.
And, you know, there's actually plenty of directions that I could have taken this, but I decided that I'd go kind of back to the title and kind of shape this around a different kind of familiar. Now, what else could familiar mean, Tansy?
It could mean that you're family?
It could. Not quite.
Okay, so I know someone who constantly refers to their pet cat as their familiar.
Amazing.
That's big
adorable.
Witch energy.
Yeah, well, this pitch got big witch energy.
Woohoo.
This is a witchy pitch that we're about to get into.
Witch shift.
What do I need to tell you? Okay, so there's some casting that I want you to do, but I'll let you know those when we get to them. The only thing that I need to tell you beforehand is that the main character is being played by Taron Egerton.
Ah, what a sweet
Taron
boy.
Taron Egerton will be playing the role of Liam.
Liam.
Look, I just wanted an excuse to kill Liam Payne.
to put him in some Liam Payne.
Yeah, I'm gonna just get into it.
Okay, let's do this.
So the first scene, I wanted to kind of look similar to the music video, which I know you just watched before we started recording.
I did.
Yeah, it's like a abandoned car park
full of sort babes. Of thing.
Yeah, babes and hunks, but like more babes than hunks.
Okay.
And like cars.
Like
so,
a Fast
yeah.
and or Furious.
Yeah, kind of like a Fast and or Furious.
Yeah.
But something about this feels off. Like it doesn't feel
familiar.
Like a fun and sexy time. It doesn't feel familiar.
Okay. It's more the chanting in Portrait of a Lady on Fire than the Fast and Furious.
Yeah. So there's a horde of women dancing, and then there's like a handful of men, and they're kind of sitting back on the cars and they're watching the women dance.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important that we kind of realize they're not dancing for these men, but rather at them.
Okay, kind of like almost like a haka, like a war dance.
Yeah. Like kind of like that. They're in a car park. Cars are all like douchey sports cars that you would drive if you're compensating for the fact that when you got rich, you neither gained a personality nor a big dick. Cars start being set on fire, kind of pan across all of these terrified and bedraggled fuckboys to meet Liam. And we've kind of pulled into his face as this bizarre, spooky bacchanalia continues. And we kind of understand from the sounds and the way that the light's passing across his face that everything's kind of escalating to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see what he's seeing, but we see that it terrifies him. And then we hear some kind of not quite animal, but definitely not human roar. And Liam screams. And we cut to black. Scene two, we're a week earlier now.
Okay, strong opening.
But yeah, so meet Liam. He's sort of like a new money business fuckboy who stumbled into the right job just before an economic downturn. You know, like getting into the housing market before the 2008 crash, or people who start podcasting a couple months before a pandemic.
Hey, people who start making sourdough and podcasting and being unemployed just before a global pandemic.
Yeah, it's like, damn, that's really, you picked a bad time.
Yeah.
But so he works for like a payday loan company or like loan shark kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And is kind of in like, not, I guess you wouldn't call it sales, but it's sales that he's in.
Okay.
Like person
to person
stuff.
So he's sort of aggressively chasing people to get them to sign up to predatory loans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of what he does, I think, would be approaching people who have loans that they have not finished paying yet to get them to take out another loan to pay that loan.
Right.
Like, it's not a legit, I mean, there's no legit payday loan companies, but it's like super dodge.
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, he's a bit dumb, mm-hmm. but he's very charming.
Is he?
And he looks like Taron Egerton,
okay,
and he's dummy thick.
Yeah, fair.
So we get kind of snapshots of his life at work, almost like an Adam McKay vibe, but without the fourth wall breaks.
Uh-huh.
So Succession, I guess.
Yeah.
In the cruelty of the system that he's working for is almost funny, but it's like not.
Yeah.
You
it's
know?
Like it's upsetting if you think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we see him show up to a customer's front door and he's all charming and convincing them to take out a new loan to pay off an old loan. And it's like, you know, oh, I'm not a debt collector, Mrs. Marek. I'm just here to help, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
The woman is crying and she has kids and she can't pay back the loan. But if she takes out another loan, that'll give it time and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And she like thanks him for like being so generous.
Yeah.
And the audience collectively goes, wow, Liam, you're a cunt.
Yeah.
And so Mrs. Marek, I don't know why that's her surname, but it is. Mrs. Marek goes off to the kitchen or the study or whatever to get some paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And Liam's just kind of having a look around the living room. He spots some kind of small trinket that he likes, you know, some kind of ornament that's like clearly old, handed down, and like only like the kind of the only really valuable thing that he can see in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And he pockets it.
It should be, I reckon, like a Wedgwood tea set or something like that. Something
yeah.
as well where, like, taking one away irreparably damages the rest of the set.
Yeah, just something he can very easily pocket.
Yeah.
Because as we kind of discover throughout his story, he's a little bit
light-fingered.
Yeah. So then he turns around, he makes eye contact with the youngest son, and he kind of scowls as if he's about to start scolding the kid, but then just, like, smooths his face out and winks instead, and the audience collectively goes, Liam, you're a cunt.
You're a cunt.
So, yeah, next scene, Liam goes to the club later that night with some mates.
The club with Du Bois.
With Du Bois, yeah. The lads.
The lads.
It's with the lads.
The lads.
And they're all very, like, stiff-collared Tarakash shirt-wearing,
yeah,
like, fucking aviator-wearing, idiotic, winkled picker-wearing fucking fuckboys.
Yeah. Can we name the club the Laundromat?
Sure. Why?
Because it's where you go to pick up a suit.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Just a bunch of Tarrakesh fuckboys. Or whatever the British equivalent of a Tarrakesh fuckboy is. I don't know where they shop in Britain. Then that scene kind of melds into a sort of dream sequence as Liam goes through his night and then goes to bed. And then that scene kind of becomes a much more pleasant version of what we've seen in that first scene, which was the video for Familiar. So we kind of get his dream is to be sitting on a sports car watching beautiful women dance. Because again, Liam's a
He
cunt. He's a
truly
big old
is.
cunt. So next day, meets his girlfriend for lunch and she dumps him.
Good. Good on
Because of,
her.
I don't know, all the things, all the reasons why he sucks. And also, he definitely, screws around. He goes back to work, kind of debriefs with his best friend, who is played by Will Poulter. And the character's name
Oh,
is just Will Poulter, because.
that's great casting.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yes. But importantly, this Will Poulter is like. So he would work, say, in kind of the tech element, like data entry, that kind of thing. It's very like millennials with ADHD. And also
Definitely
importantly,
sold his Adderall at high school.
yes, yeah, and also importantly is gay. Like that doesn't really come to anything. It's just that thing where I'm like, I want that character to be gay.
Because I think
And
it's important that we have proper representation of the fact that anyone can be evil, even the gays.
yeah, and he kind of has this relationship where he, obviously he doesn't agree with the way that Liam's kind of talking about women, because he comes back to work and he's like, "Oh, bitches, am I right, lad? Back on the market. Let's go out on the lash tonight. Blah blah blah." And Will's just kind of like, "Yeah,
Yep,
cool.
that's a
I
thing
will
that you
never own a
do.
house." Yeah, and then so we get cut to interior straight people bar, laundromat. Liam is drunk. He's dancing, and it's simple. He dips low. His hips roll. He do the calypso.
Also, in my head, Calypso is just that icy pole that you got when you didn't have enough
He do the
money for
Calippo?
a,
That's a
yeah, Calippo,
Calippo.
yeah.
It's simple. You dip low, your hips roll, you eat a Calippo.
the
I mean, they are sort of phallic in shape,
They are.
the Calippo. But yeah, as he's dancing, a woman approaches. This is the one witch that I have cast. She's played by Zoe Ashton,
Okay. Is she
who
from
she's in Velvet Buzzsaw.
yeah, that was what I was going to say. Yeah,
Josephina.
Josephina.
Yeah.
That
She
no
just
one
has like
has
a
a normal
very
name in that film.
no. No one is normally there's no real human beings in that
There
film.
is not.
Yeah, so she has that kind of otherworldly kind of quality. Yeah, anyway, so she kind of comes up and is like, "Hi, I'm Sienna. What's your name?" And he's like, "Hi, I'm Liam." And kind of it like he starts trying to go in for the small talk thing of like, "Oh, what do you do? I work in." And she's like, "No, shh.
Shut up.
I just wanted to know your name. Are you gonna dance with me?" And so they start dancing. And it's, sexy or whatever.
It's heavy
Yeah,
tension.
it's a little bit, nice to meet you. What's your name? Let me treat you to a drink.
Oh my God, does he rhyme name with drink?
No, that's from a Niall Horan
Oh,
song.
Niall. Actually, no, I don't hold Niall Horan accountable for anything because I think he's too dumb to make any actual decisions.
No, Niall's so sweet.
Being exceptionally dumb does not preclude him from being nice.
I've come around to Niall
Okay.
since a year ago when we recorded that episode.
I think you're
Anyway,
in
but yeah,
denial about this, but anyway.
it's not just a river in Egypt. So they're dancing, and then she tells him, I can read your mind. And he's like, "Oh yeah, what am I thinking now?" And she's like, "You're thinking that you're so glad you got lunch with Hannah today, because if you hadn't, and she'd broken up with you tomorrow instead of today, you wouldn't be dancing with me right now." And he's like, "What, are you a friend of Hannah's?" And she's like, "No, I told you, I can read your mind." And so he kind of pulls her in closer, and he's like, "Well, what about now?" And she says, "You're trying to remember if your bedroom is clean enough to take me home. It's all right, it isn't, but you can come to mine instead."
Damn, Sienna is forward, and I admire that.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, we're all about it. And he's also all about it. So he pulls her closer again, and he's like, "What about now?" And she kind of glances down. She's like, "I don't need to get inside your brain to read that." Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. So they go back to her place, because it's closer anyway. And it kind of is almost sweet. Like, he's clearly a little bit besotted in that drunk, "I just met you and this is crazy" kind of way. They get to the house and she's like, by the way, my roommates might be home, but it's all right. They're cool. They won't bother us. And he's like, what, you still... So, like, these characters are both in their early 30s. Mm-hmm. So he'd be like, what, you still have roommates? What are you, like, a student or something?
What are you, she's like, no, I mean... Poor?
Yeah. he doesn't say that. He's enough of a, you know, like, he's with it enough to not say that. And she's like, oh, no, I mean, they're really more like sisters to me now. It's almost like family. We've all lived together for so long that we couldn't really imagine not. And he's like, oh, yeah, and do, you know, any of them have, like, what, like, kids, boyfriends, husbands? And she's just like, nope. And so obviously he's like, oh, I'm walking into a house of lesbians. This is a dream come true. Because, once again,
Liam is a cunt.
So they're in the house, and she truly does have about a million housemates. Mm. And they're all kind of, they're all, like, you know, it's not that they're angry or unwelcoming. They're just, like, scrutinizing him. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like, yeah, hi.
The more you judge me, the worse I will get.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just like, oh, hey, you know, hot chicks. Hot chicks, mm-hmm. hot chicks. Some older hot chicks, but that's okay. Hot chicks, mm-hmm. hot chicks. A cat scurries past, and he's like, oh, there's a cat. And Sienna mentions that the cat's name is mm-hmm. Andy.
Is the cat Hosier?
No.
Just wanted to check.
I mean, the cat could be Hosier. Yeah, no, what? The Thank cat is you. Hosier. That's what he's doing during isolation.
Being a cat in a house full of witches.
He's shaking his woodland booty and being a cat in a house full of gay yeah. fuck witches.
Good for him.
Yeah, and so he kind of comments, he's like, oh, yeah, this is quite a nice house. This is, like, mm-hmm. really big, you know. It's very new agey. And she's just like, can you shh? And also at some point he's like, oh, yeah, can your friends read my mind too? Ha, 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 ha. And she's like, do you think... Like, are you thinking anything right now that they wouldn't be able to tell by looking at you? She glances down again and he's like, oopsie daisy. And then they have some good old enthusiastic, fully consensual, it's just a nice time mm-hmm. sex. Because sometimes you're allowed to have that in a horror movie.
No, I refuse to believe that yeah, in a and horror
then,
movie.
And then everything goes wrong.
Okay, yeah.
The fucking isn't the reason why everything goes wrong, though. So they're chilling out in the post-fuck. That's a classic pitch shift throwback, the post-fuck.
Did that end up in the episode?
Yes, it did.
Okay, cool. I never know what
fuck
I cut.
Fuck by nail.
Because there's so much that gets cut from this show.
Oh,
like,
truly. Truly.
I'm glad truly. That post-fuck made it in there, that the fuck uh-huh. is in the mail. It'll be 2 to 5 business days.
Yep. And yeah, so they're chilling in the post-fuck. Mm-hmm. She leaves the room to go freshen up. And he's just kind of, like, looking around, being you know, like, just kind of inspecting the room.
Mm-hmm.
The cat kind of comes back into the room, mm-hmm. and he sort of awkwardly scratches its head. You know, he's not bad with animals, but, like, not good with them.
Yeah.
And then he sees, like an amulet, like a gold necklace,
mm-hmm.
and he's immediately drawn to it. And he kind of picks it up, and he can kind of feel that the metal is, like, a little bit soft, so it must be pure gold.
Mm-mm.
But it's small, and he's kind of makes a snap judgment of like, oh, she won't notice it's gone. And so he pockets it, because Liam is a cunt.
Liam is a cunt.
The cat starts kind of growling at him, and it's circling around his legs, and its eyes are flashing, you know, ears back, hissing at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to get, like, he's trying to, like, move around the cat, but the cat won't get out of his way. And he's like, fucking cat, can you fucking get out of the way? Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
The cat's getting increasingly more and more upset. So he goes to pick it up, and it swipes at him in self-defense.
Yeah.
And then he kicks it.
Liam's
yeah.
a cunt.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And so the cat just, like, yowls, and its eyes kind of flash brighter this time, and it's definitely not the light. It's definitely not just the light. The cat runs out of the room, and all of a sudden Liam feels really dizzy and sits down, assuming that it's probably just the alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a very human cry somewhere else in the house. And so one of the roommates, housemates, who we will call Zara, runs into the room. Mm-hmm. Now, who are we casting for our second witch?
Tell me a bit about Zara.
Zara, okay, well, I'll run you through the scene. Okay. Zara basically kind of comes into the room. She's like, what did you do? And he's like, oh, I didn't do anything. Your cat fucking attacked me. And she's like, no, you have to get out of here right now. You have to get out. Like, she's very much like the leader, kind of, you get the impression. It's uh-huh. like, it's her shit.
How about a bit of Michaela Cole?
Sure, yeah, yeah. Let's do it.
Michaela yeah, Cole. I May Destroy You. Watch it now on HBO Max. We are sponsored today by HBO Max. It's the maxi pad of content streaming.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
HBO Max, you want that Snyder Cut? We'll give you that Snyder Cut. Why you want it, we don't know, but we'll make it. $20 million. $20 million. That was our sponsor, HBO Max.
And so he's kind of, you know, he's like, oh, where's Sienna? And she's like, it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to speak to her anymore. Just like, get the fuck out, go. Mm-hmm. And so he's running out half dressed and Zara's kind of on his heels. He starts muttering about crazy bitches. He's crazy witch bitches. And Zara's like, the fuck did you just say? Enter witch number three, Aaron, A-R-R-Y-N,
mm-hmm.
who's kind of more like placating and a little bit more kind of wispy and weird.
Can I suggest something other than willowy and wispy?
Yeah.
Have you watched Sex Education?
No, I have not.
So Amy in that is like beautifully stupid. She's just like wonderfully dumb and really like nice and lovely and just a bit daft.
Yeah,
and
I think she's great and she should be in more stuff
because that actress is real good.
Amy Lou Wood.
Is the character's name Amy or? Yeah, no, I didn't imagine that. That can work. Yeah.
And so she's kind of trying to stop Zara from making
the situation. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of, it's not even like, you know, don't make a scene. It's like, no, not now, not now. Like,
right. Yep.
She's kind of like trying to reason with her. It's like, no, you don't have to, like we can't do this right now. But he's kind of turned on the full fuckboy charm offensive and calls them all lesbians.
Oh, yay. That's
and as he's kind
thing.
Of going, making to leave the house, he sees Sienna just like stricken and crying and he tries to talk to her. But at this point, he's like physically pushed out of the house.
Yeah, good.
And, you know, drunk and pissed and tired and yelling at the door. But he turns around to go and he's about halfway down the road before he looks back and he sees Sienna staring from a window with the cat next to her.
Mm-hmm.
And as he kind of sees the two of them, there's sort of like a recognition of like kinship between them. And at that moment, the scratch from the cat on his arm just like burns a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And that's the end of that.
That's the end of that.
That's the end of the film. No, I'm joking. The next day, he wakes up late. He's hungover and he's sore and he's got angry voicemails from his boss. Gets up to get ready and he remembers the little amulet that he took. And so he goes to a chest that he keeps somewhere in his room and opens it to reveal every fucking thing he's ever stolen.
What a cunt. Because,
again, Liam is a cunt and derives a sort of sociopathic pleasure from stealing small yet emotionally valuable things. And so he considers putting the amulet in and then for some reason he reconsiders and he actually puts it on.
What?
Because he's like, I don't know.
He's not just a cunt, he's a dumb cunt.
Yeah, at this point, everyone watching is like, no!
Dude!
Liam! On his drive to work, he's waiting in traffic. And this is the beginning of that kind of, like, increasingly kind of disturbing jump scare kind of sequences.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that this is True Blum, this Dumbhouse horror.
No, it's Dumbhouse, it not bit Blumhouse.
It is a tiny bit of the Blum. Yep, so there's like a flash of something kind of dark behind him in his side mirror. Mm-hmm. And he looks back, there's nothing behind the car, there's nothing there. There's a brushing noise from inside the car and he looks again, he looks in the back seat, you know, there's nothing there. Mm-hmm. And as he's adjusting his rearview mirror, like boom, there's a looming black creature in the back seat.
Oofed.
And the scratch burns again, but then it's gone. You know, he's at work. Will Poulter, his name is Will Poulter, asks him about his night and he's like, yeah, you know, I went to this chick's house, but it turns out she was a crazy lesbian and she lived with a, you know, a weird feminazi cult or whatever. But, you know, it's fine. Like, whatever. I don't care. Bitches be crazy.
Bitches be crazy.
Bitches just be crazy.
Just crackers.
And Will's like, oh, okay. Like, what kind of cult? He's like, I don't know. There was, like, fucking occult looking stuff. Like, there was this, and he shows Will the amulet because he's an idiot. And Will's like, oh, interesting. Okay. Anyway, I'm gonna go back to my desk now. Bye bye.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, just throughout the day, he's like not at his best. So now it's a Friday night. He and the lads go out for a drink after work. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't do that every night. It doesn't need to be Friday, but they're like, oh, it's Friday.
It's an extra cut loose kind of night.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's Friday. Let's go out for a drink. And it's like, didn't you also go out for a drink on Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, and Monday? And they're like,
it's Friday.
And so while they're out at whatever bar they are, he sees Sienna and some of
the witches,
including Zara and Aaron, who fully at this point look like they're ready to start shit.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he's like, not sure if he wants to get into it. But then Sienna comes up to him and she's like, look, I know you took it. And he's like, what are you talking about? She's like, listen, look, it's fine if you just give it back to me now. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, you're being crazy right now. I'm with my friends. Mm. She's like, look, okay, the thing that you took, you don't understand it. So you just have to give it back. It doesn't have to be like this. You can give it back and it'll be like,
it'll all be fine.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. But if you don't, like, I don't know what's going to happen. Just, they're telling me that you have 7 days to give it back to me, and then they'll let this go, but you have to give it back.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Jesus, your friends are fucking intense. And she's like, look, they're just looking out for me. And, like, walks back to the group of friends, at which point Zara probably yells out, like, you know, you shouldn't take people's shit.
Because you shouldn't, Liam. You can't.
And Aaron's like, and also you shouldn't kick people's cats. And, you know, one of his work friends is like, you kicked a cat, bro. He's like, no, I didn't kick a cat. I did. And then that night when he's in bed, that night as he's walking home, there's a similar vibe of like, he hears something behind him, mm-hmm. keeps looking back and there's nothing there. And then, you know, you get to the third one and you're like, oh, on the third one, it's going to be there, but it's not there. Because mm-hmm. what you do now is you don't get him on the third glance, you get him on the fifth glance.
Why not the fourth?
Because you give them one more to simmer before you get them on the fifth.
Okay,
because cool. Because you don't get on the third, it's like, wait, what's going on? And then you don't get on the fourth, they're like, oh, God. And then you get it on the fifth, and they're like, bleh.
Okay.
And yeah, and there's this fucking looming black creature again. What are the odds? This time we can kind of make out the shape of it. We just can see that it's tall, sort of a male figure, and that there's something almost serpentine about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's Saturday. Yep. And we do get a little overlaid text that just says day two.
Oh.
Boom, day two. You know, it's his weekend. And he just starts, like, losing things. Like, mm-hmm. he just can't fucking find anything when he needs it. Like, wallet, phone, keys, his car when he goes out. Like, nothing's ever where he put it last.
Yep.
The only thing that ever gets lost, obviously, is the amulet, which is around his neck, and he's still pretending that he hasn't actually stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see him have, like, weird nightmares. There's, like, a black taloned kind of claw cutting out his tongue or whatever, you yep. know, and in these dreams, the cat from the house is always there.
Mm-hmm.
Next day is a Sunday, and we just get a little scene where he calls Will, because who else is he going to call? No one likes him.
Yep.
And he's like, all this fucking weird shit is happening. And Will's like, huh, that's weird.
Would it have anything to do with that amulet?
Yeah, he's like, yeah. And, like, it's not exactly like a you're my research guy kind of thing. I think that when he calls Will, he's expecting Will to be like, let me get into the research. Will's just kind of like, interesting.
Weird.
Okay, I guess I'll see you at work. It's Monday. Boom, day four.
Yeah.
And things continue to get worse for our little friend Liam. He's underslept. He's really kind of wired. He's starting to lose time. So we get a kind of sequence where it's like he blinks and he's in his car. He blinks and he's at work. He blinks, he's in a meeting,
mm-hmm.
and a different meeting.
Forget jump scares. This year we're all about jump cuts.
Yeah, but with that blink kind of thing, it's almost like he's like just like drifting from thing to thing. There's one time he's in a meeting, you know, with the whole company. He blinks, and then there's that looming black figure again, just kind of looming over his boss's shoulder, pointing at him. This time we can see that the serpentine thing is in fact a snake. Basically, it's a big man with a snake.
Ooh.
Big man with a snake.
Big man snake.
Which I'll explain in.
Now just that's what I call vaguely phallic.
Yeah, and it's pointing at him, and all of a sudden the amulet around his neck burns, and the scratch on his arm burns, and the necklace is like tightening as if it's gonna like
choke him.
Yeah, or like just fully just garrote him, and he screams, and everyone's like, "Dude, what the fuck? Like, what the hell's going on with you?"
Mm.
Boss sends him to the doctor. Doctor is like, "I don't know.
You got wiggles in your brain."
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, you wanna de-smooth that brain, my guy? No, the doctor's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with your brain. But by the way, you do have chlamydia, so get that sorted. He immediately, incorrectly, assumes that it was Sienna that gave it to him, even though he probably had it to be. He definitely had it before. Yeah, but he's like, oh, fucking bitch. That's why everything's going wrong. She came to the club. And so he once again calls Will about it.
Yeah. And Will is like, I didn't need to know this.
Yeah. Will is like, okay, so you said it was a man with a snake. Yeah. And the amulet, it has like things that look like little bits that look like I's and S's, right? And he's looking at the amulet and he's like, yeah. He's like, okay, so what you got here is, oopsie daisy, the symbol of the demon Andromalius.
Oh, no.
And he's like, Andrew. I'm sorry. Andromalius Hosier Byrne. He's like, yeah. He's like one of the like earls of hell.
Oh, duke or a lord, just an earl of hell.
So this is me quoting fucking demonology texts.
Oh, wow.
Texts of demonology.
How dare you bring research onto this show?
I mean, I always bring research wherein it pertains to spooky things that I can use to say stuff about how men suck. Yeah, he's like one of the earls of hell. He has, you know, like Will's kind of going on. It's like, yeah, he like punishes thieves. He's all about like punishing thieves and like revealing dishonesty and stuff. Mm. Liam is like, since when do you know fucking witchy bullshit? You fucking gay. Mm. And he's like, well, first of all, I am gay, so that's not an insult. Second of all, I'm a millennial and I have ADHD and I can't not spend 4 hours reading really specific freaky websites about a thing my friend complained to me about once. I want you to know. I want you to understand. I don't care.
I just needed to know.
I just really needed to know. It was itching me in my brain. Hey, listen, I guess, like, have you stolen anything? Because maybe that has something to do with it. And he just, like, turns to look at the giant chest of stuff that he's stolen from people and he's like, I don't know.
Me? Never.
Yeah. Me? Take responsibility for my actions? What? Oh, surely you must be confusing me with, not a cunt. So that evening he goes to Sienna's house and just starts, like, you know, he's, like, hammering on the door and he's like, listen, you gave me a fucking STD and I'm the asshole. But there doesn't seem to be anyone at home. The house is, like, dead silent. There's some spooky, scary shit. And, you know, he gets into the house because it's not locked or whatever.
Yeah.
This bit, I've kind of yada-yarded a little bit because what would happen here is essentially your typical horror sequence where he's walking through a darkened house and obviously the looming serpent man, Andromalius, turns up because it's Andy.
Yep.
Andy the cat.
Andy the cat, yeah.
Yeah, he's a familiar. And, like, it's, you know, it's the kind of thing of, like, again, I haven't written the dialogue, but, like, very much, like, he is indeed being punished for all the theft. And so, yeah, it's a kind of, like, terrifying sequence, very, like, kind of more like the Vavitch.
Yeah.
In the sense that it's, like, really, like,
eerie. Do you want to live, like, familiarly?
Yeah. Yeah, like, eerie and, like entirely kind of based in, like, unnerving symbols and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you get, it's that thing where you don't know why you're scared, but you are.
Yeah, it's like a deep primal sort of something in your brain that's like, no, I'ma smooth that bit out.
And then so now it's Tuesday, we get our boom, day 5.
Yep.
He's really just, like, looking worse and worse every day. Today he's out, like, doing his person-to-person sales kind of thing.
Yeah.
So he's back at the Marek house. He's sitting in her living room, once again, like, trying to be charming and like, get money out of her.
Yeah.
And then basically what I want this scene to be is, like, the scene in Hereditary where the son gets possessed by Charlie.
Okay.
Spoilers for Hereditary if you haven't seen it, I guess. There's a sequence wherein the elder sibling is being possessed by the ghost of the younger sibling who's died. Mm-hmm. And just, it's just the way that his body moves against his will
is not good.
Yeah, it's very scary. But so basically there's, like, it's almost like a scene where, like, you start from her perspective, from Mrs. Marek's perspective, and she's kind of like, Mr. Payne, are you okay? His full name is Liam Payne. Like, are you, like, what's wrong? Like, are you in pain? It's like, oh, is he, like, having a seizure or something? And we kind of see then from his perspective, right behind her, the demon is there. And this time the snake breaks away from it and kind of comes up to him and it bites him. Because of course it does. So, like, he's just, like, terrified, can't move, etc. Finally kind of comes back to himself and, like, realizes... Like, you kind of get that thing where he hears his own voice coming back to him as he's, like, just staring into the eyes of this demon. And then we kind of realign time and he finds himself saying that, like, saying to Mrs. Marek, like, all your debt has been forgiven. You don't have to pay any more money, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she's confused by everything that just happened.
Yeah.
Essentially burst into tears of fucking relief and is like, thank you so much. Like, oh my God, you have no idea how much this means. Like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure that this is okay? Like, you're not going to get in trouble? And he's just like, no, it's cool.
It's fine.
Meanwhile, he's, you know, he sees the cat. He sees Andy the cat slink by and kind of leave the house. And so as he's making to leave again, he makes eye contact with that youngest kid.
Yeah.
The one who saw him take the thing and is like, oh, fuck, and just runs away. At this point, he's like, Will, I need you to meet up with me.
Mm-hmm.
Can you meet up with me right now? And so they sit, they go get coffee, and he's like, okay, so this all just happened. So this and this, and I've seen this and this. And anyway, I never mentioned before, but I definitely did steal that amulet, and I also kicked a cat, and it turns out the cat might be a demon, and look at where it scratched me, and Will is like, ugh! And the chick, you remember the chick from before? She said I had 7 days to give it back, and it's been 5, and yeah. And so Will is like, what the fuck?
Why have you not given it back?
But yeah, he's like, I didn't even need to do any of that research, that I didn't need to go down that internet K-hole to tell you that if a witch who read your mind tells you to give something back and to stop stealing shit... Back. And then an anti-theft demon haunts your dreams. You should stop fucking stealing shit. He's like, so you think I should give the necklace back? He's like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you big dumb idiot.
I think you should give everything back that you can. Like, it sounds like you are being punished for theft.
Yeah.
And he's like, but I don't. I mean, I steal little things. He's like, what do you do for a living? What do we all do for a living? He's like, oh,
there's a metaphor.
Like, he's like, well, I accidentally kind of forgave some debt today, but I think that was because the demon made me. And Will is like, oh, you think?
You think?
And so he then just goes on a spree of, he's like, oh, I've got to forgive all the debt. I've got to stop stealing shit. And so he just forgives like a fuck ton of debt. He gets fired.
Yeah.
But he's like, maybe that's enough. So he hasn't returned the amulet yet at this point. And you're like, why haven't you? But at this point, it's because the house just terrifies him so much that he's like, I can't. But then that night, he has, like, the worst nightmares.
Yeah.
Just really, like, you know, like waking nightmare where he's on fire or something like that. Like, yeah, really like just,
sleep paralysis, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really just the worst degree of, like, and he can't take it, and he's like, I can't do this anymore. And you really do, it is that thing where you do kind of...
sympathize.
Yeah, the level to which he's being... tortured and terrified, you're like, okay, yeah, that does suck, buddy.
Yeah,
I know you're a cunt, but like, yeah, next day is day 6. He's like, I guess I just have to do it. He goes back to the house to return the amulet. When he gets there, Sienna's already sitting outside under a tree
because she can, like, read his mind.
Yeah, she's like, he's like, oh, I guess you knew I was coming. She was like, I wouldn't have imagined that you wouldn't have come after last night. And he's like, you knew about that? And she's like, look, I didn't. It wasn't my idea, okay, but
it worked.
It worked. And he's like, look, okay, I'm sorry that I stole the thing and I kicked your cat, and also just in general, like, a shitty person. And she's like, okay, but do you understand
all of it?
Like, it's that thing where he's like apologizing, and she's like, but do you understand what you did wrong? And he's like, yes. And she's like, I don't know if you do. Like, I think you're apologizing because you want this to stop. And he's like, well, of course I want this to stop. Like,
it's the worst.
She's like, no, but I thought Zara and Aaron were being intense, but, like, they're right. Like, all you do is...
steal all day.
Steal. And it's not just you. Like,
it's just capitalism. All these
people constantly just taking people's money, but like, taking people's agency, you know, cheating people. Like, you know, it's horrible. Like, we see all of it because we can see what's in people's brains.
Getting inside your getting brain. Yeah,
I shouldn't have said brain. That sounds dumb. But, like, you know, we see all of it. We see what all of this, like, theft and cheating and injustice does to people. And, like, you know, I thought they were going too far, but I think maybe they're not going far enough. And he's like, okay, but I gave back those people's money, and I gave you the amulet back, and you said 7 days, and it's been 6, so it's cool, right? I'll be safe. And she's like, yeah, sure, basically. It's like, it's fine. Look, can you leave? Like, this is, can you leave? Mm-hmm. And so he goes home, he goes to bed, and we're like, oh, is it maybe over? But all of a sudden, he jolts awake, and we're back in that first scene again.
with the dancing.
Yeah. We're back in the haunted car park, and he you can see he maybe thinks he's dreaming, but slowly realizes like, oh fuck, this is actually real this time. And you've got the chanting going on, and it's like, you know, Zara's making a speech about like all the men here are thieves of some kind. They're thieves and cheats and liars and rapists and blah blah blah. And this time we see what we only saw through his eyes before. So we see like, you know, cars being set on fire, and like a pyre being made, and like the demon, Andy the demon, kind of emerging from the flames in his full form.
That is just Hosier.
Yeah, it's just Hosier.
And it's Hosier like, with a snake like Britney Spears at the VMAs.
Yes, yeah, and he's like, I wouldn't know where to start, you're all cunts and I'm gonna eat you. And he eats them.
Yep.
And then, again, you know, we kind of think it's all over, but we see that Will has followed Liam to where he is using the, like, find my phone thing. Just almost, again, just kind of out of curiosity. And so he finds what remains of the whole fucking, as I put it before, bizarre bacchanalia.
The murder orgy,
yeah. And so, yeah, so he comes up on that. And a witch that we've probably not yet met kind of approaches him, and is like, oh, like, what are you doing here? How did you find this? Blah, blah, blah. And Sienna comes up and she's like, don't worry, it's okay. He's one of us.
Oh.
And you realize that Will has been a witch the whole time. And she's kind of like...
Witch Poulter.
Yeah, Witch Poulter. He's like, yeah, I did what I could, but I guess you guys were... I guess this was always your plan. And Sienna's like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't my plan to begin with, but I'm glad that we did it now. And he's like, you know what? I think it was for the best.
Yeah.
So basically implying that, like, initially the brain torture was just happening because they wanted him to give back...
To stop stealing amulet, shit.
Which, like, allows Andy the cat to become the demon.
Yeah.
And but then it became about a kind of a sense of, like, retribution.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of end on that moment of, like, kinship between the two of them, and Will turns around and disappears into the night. End of film. Bouchica wow wow.
And then we get the logo, Dumbhouse Studios.
Yes. And we get... familiar.
No, it would be... No, it would be a haunting cover done by, like, an a cappella witch choir.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
That's that film.
Yeah, I enjoy.
Good, I'm glad. It's really, I find it's very hard to describe a horror film.
Yeah.
And, like, it's always that thing where I'm like, how could I make this sound scary? But I can't, because I guess, I don't know, I'm not good at horror prose.
Yeah.
So shout out to people who are good at horror prose.
Yeah, good for them.
But yeah, that's that.
Yeah, that is that. No, that was good. It's a good addition to the One Del Toro quest.
Yeah, to the Dumbhouse One Del Toro cinematic universe.
Where can people find you on the internet, Charles?
They can find me on Twitter at GarlsOChady. What about you, Tansy?
I am also on Twitter at Tansy Clipboard.
Yeah. Yeah. The podcast is on Twitter at PitchShiftPod. We're also on Instagram at PitchShiftPod. You can email us, pitchshiftpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know which One Direction song you would like to hear next.
Don't be afraid to get familiar.
It's actually familiar.
Oh, that's so much worse. Familiar. Like, both of them are bad. What's on your mind for later tonight? Let me be the one to fill it up. This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri, Wiradjuri and Boonwurrung people. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.